Yetzeh is a parsha that we really get into the character of Yaakov Avinu, and I'd like to deal with the two famous images that we have at the beginning of Parshas Vayetzeh. We've discussed them many times in the past, but I want to, you know, this year we're using a lot of the Nesiva Shalom, the son of the Rebbe of Shalom Noch Brzovsky, something he says related to an idea of Rav Mordechai Vlachovich, related to an idea from Rav Moshe Wolfson. And of course, at the beginning of the parsha, there are two famous images. The first image is, of course, the Sulam, Yaakov Avinu's first dream on his way to Haran. Yaakov Avinu is where? Where is he when he has the dream? We assume he is on Har HaMoriah, he's on Har HaBayis, he's on the Temple Mount, and he has a dream. By a Chalom, page 144, Perek Chavches, Pasuk Yedbeis, 28:12, V'hinei Sulam Mutzav Arza. He has a dream, and behold, there is a ladder, Mutzav Arza, that's firmly entrenched in the ground, leaning Rosho Magia Shamaima, and the top of the ladder reaches to heaven. V'hinei Malchei Elohim Olim V'yordim Bo. There are angels of God going up and down this ladder. Next pasuk, V'hinei Adonai Nitzav Alav. And God is standing on top of him. So what is the image of this ladder? So the Medrash brings a number of different interpretations. In fact, the Art Scroll brings a bunch of them, and I'd like to delve into one, the first one that Art Scroll mentions, which is from the Bereishis Rabbah, which is that the Sulam, this ladder, represents the experience of Matan Torah at Har Sinai. That this ladder is representing Mount Sinai. It is interesting because we know there is a wild medrash that, you know what the other name for Har Sinai was? Har HaMoriah. That God took the mountain where the Beis HaMikdash was going to be and put it in the desert and gave the Torah on top of it. We don't assume that, right? But there is a wild medrash. But the purpose of the medrash is somehow to connect these two mountains. And this medrash, that Yaakov Avinu, when he's dreaming about Har Sinai, would certainly fit that. And how does it happen? The Medrash actually breaks down the pasuk. It says, "V'hinei Sulam," that's Sinai. Why? Because Sulam and Sinai have the same gematria. They have the same gematria of 130, right? Mutzav Arza, the Lashon Mutzav Arza that we just read, that connects Vayisyatzvu B'tachtis Ahar, that the people at Har Sinai were entrenched standing around the bottom of the mountain. V'rosho Magia Shamaima, and the top of the Sulam, the ladder, reached heaven. That relates to the pasuk by Har Sinai. V'har bo'er ba'esh adlev ha-shamayim, that there was a fire on top of the mountain. Where did that fire reach? Until the heart of heaven. Again, the image of reaching up, you have that at Har Sinai also. V'hinei malachei elokim olim v'yor dimbo. Who is that, the Medrash says? That's Moshe and Aaron. Moshe and Aaron. Because Moshe goes up, Aaron goes up to escort him, but then he has to come down. Because Aaron can't go up. Only Moshe goes up. V'hinei Hashem nitzav alav. And God is standing on top of Yaakov Avinu. What does that correspond to? Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai al Rosh Ahar. Where the pasuk describes that God's presence comes to the top of the mountain. In fact, the Gemara in Sukkah says that was the closest that God's presence came to ever resting on earth itself, and that was at the top of Har Sinai. So the Medrash here is teaching us that when Yaakov Avinu has this vision of the Sulam, it's really a vision of Har Sinai. Why is Yaakov, of all the Avos, going to have the dream about Har Sinai? So we know why Yaakov's going to have the dream about Har Sinai. Because whereas Avram is the Amud HaChesed, Avram Avinu represents the pillar of divine service via loving kindness. Yitzchak Avinu is the Amud of Avoda. Yitzchak Avinu is the pillar of divine service through sacrifice and prayer. He himself, of course, was a sacrifice. Yaakov Avinu is the third pillar, and the third pillar we know is, of course, Torah. Yaakov Avinu is the third pillar. Titen Emes Li Yaakov. Give truth to Yaakov. Moshe Emes V'Taraso Emes. Chosama shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes, that the seal of God is truth. So Yaakov Avinu, of all the Avos, is the one who's going to be dreaming of Matan Torah, because he is the Av, he is the forefather whose primary mode of service is through Torah, through Limud HaTorah. And of course, that's why when we're first introduced to Yaakov Avinu, what is he called? He's referred to as the Ishtam Yoshev Oalim. What does David HaMelech tell us about Torah? Torah Hashem Tamima. Torah Hashem Tamima. Yaakov is the Ishtam. And where is he? He's Yoshev Oalim, that the Medrash tells us is Olo Shel Torah. So it makes perfect sense that Yaakov Avinu is having this dream of Har Sinai. But what is this dream of Har Sinai really supposed to teach us about Torah itself? Why in the image of the ladder? So the Slonim Rebbe has a beautiful yesod. And it's a yesod that I've heard from a number of my rabbeim, Rav Mendel Blachman, Shlita of Karen Biavne, who was just honored by KBY last week, 2 weeks ago, whenever it was. He talks about it. He talked about it a lot. But what is the concept of a ladder? The concept of a ladder, first of all, is to really ascend the ladder, you have to make sure that you're staying on the ladder. When we talk about Torah, Rav Blachman would often say that Torah has their guardrails on the right and on the left. If you want to ascend with Torah, you have to make sure that you stay on the ladder. You have to make sure that you have the misgeret, you have the structure, you have the geder of halacha of Torah, right? So that's the first thing, that to really, meaning a person's going up, climbing a rope, you could fly all over the place, right? Run up the wall, this way, that way, all around. But when you're on a ladder, you can't move the ladder anywhere. You're going up a ladder, you are almost meshubad to the ladder. You have to stay on the ladder. You can't decide, oh, I'm going to go up that part of the wall. No, the ladder is here. This here you have to go. So the Slonimer discusses the notion of being mugdar, the notion of the Torah representing a certain path, that you have to stay on that path. But we know that where is that path? It starts, we're told, Sulam Mutzav Arza. It starts in the lowest place. What does that mean? It means that when a person starts the path of Torah, we have to know that it doesn't matter where we are. V'sulam mutzav arza. In fact, for the sulam, for the ladder to really stay, what do you very often do with the ladder? You have to make sure it's connected to the ground very firmly, right? When we start walking up the ladder of Torah, the path of Torah, where it is in the lowest place, that means nothing. That means nothing. It doesn't matter where you start. One of the greatest of the great, one of the all-time greats, right, of our nation. When did he start with Torah? He started at 40. Think about Rabbi Akiva, the one that Moshe Rabbeinu was in awe of, right? Think about where Rabbi Akiva was. In fact, the Gemara tells us some very unsavory things about him before he was 40. Not in Ben Adam L'Chaveru, but just in terms of his appreciation for Torah, Rabbi Akiva was so far away from it. But once you start on that ladder, even though it's Mutzav Arza, Rosho Magia Shamayma, you have to know where the ladder can take you. And it has to be a very, very careful, very measured growth. Right, when we talk about spiritual growth, you know, we know that the mushel of the ladder is very appropriate, because what happens when you try and jump up rungs on a ladder, right? It doesn't go. To go up a ladder, it has to go step by step by step by step, right? The idea that we have to be very careful about the spiritual achievements that we're aiming for, that, you know, there's a Gemara, Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter, one of the Sarm talks about, you know, the whatever, when an animal tries to reach too far and loses his ears because of it. It's a mashal, it's a metaphor in the Gemara that you know, of course we aim high, but be careful where you're shooting, right? Be make sure you're going for something realistic. That when we talk about growth in Torah, we know where we're going to, but we have to make sure that our step is firmly, firmly planted when we push up. And at the same time, when we talk about growth using a ladder, even when you get to the top, where's the bottom of the ladder? It's still in the same place. Meaning that the ladder of Torah, the sulamutz of arts of Orocho Magia Shamaima, Torah is what connects heaven and earth. What does that mean? It means that when Yaakov Avinu wakes up after Hashem appears to him, right? What's the lashon that Yaakov Avinu says? And we discussed this before. It's the next page, 146. Pasuk Tes Zayin, 16, Vayikatz Yaakov Mishnaso. Yaakov wakes up from his sleep. Vayomer, Achein Yesh Adonai B'makom Hazeh V'nochi Lo Yadoti. Can it be that there's God in this place and I didn't know? And the Slonimer says, Yaakov Avinu, until he has this vision of the ladder, where's Yaakov Avinu? He's this Ish Tam Yoshev Olam. Yaakov Avinu is this guy sitting in the tent learning Torah. And when he runs away from home, what does he do before he even goes to Haran? What do Chazal tell us? He spends another 14 years in a Beis Medrash. He learned by his father, by Yitzchak Avinu, was his Rebbe for many years. And then for another 14 years, he goes to learn by Eiver. Shem wasn't alive anymore. He goes to learn by Eiver, Shem's grandson, big Rosh Hashiva in the time that wasn't his father. And only then he's going out to Haran. And he builds himself up. We've discussed in the past, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says, what's he learning when he goes to Yeshiva of Eiver? He's learning the Torah of Golos. Right? Because he grew up surrounded by Kedusha, Tara, by his father, by his mother. He's going to a place of Tumah. He's going to a place of idolatry. It's the first time that this kid who grows up in this cloistered environment, the secluded, you know, pristine environment, the home of Yitzchak and Rivka, is going out. So what does he go to Eiver to learn? Eiver, of course, Shem, Eiver. They were like before Avram Avinu. They were iconoclasts. They were ones that stood on their own. They didn't go out the way Avram did. They just built up around them. But he learned when to go there to learn how to deal with Golus. But when he has this vision, Hashem reveals to him something else, right? There's God in this place, Vanochi Le'odati, because the image of the ladder, the Mutzav Arts of Rosh HaMegiyah Shemayim, it's showing us that everything, all parts of our life, even the parts that we think are artsius, the parts that we think are so physical and so material and totally devoid of spirituality, no. It's all the same ladder. It's all part of the same process. And the physical is, of course, spiritual. That's what Torah does. And that's why Yaakov Avinu, the one of the Avos who grows up so pristine without the influences, because Esav is the Ishsad that he's always going out. Yaakov Avinu, Mamish, grows up of all the Avos in the most pristine way. This Yaakov Avinu, he's the one that needs to learn this lesson, that really everything is part of Kiddush. And that's what they say, that Rav Mordechai Milachovich, that Shabbos Parshas Vayetze, this Shabbos, he wouldn't say Torah. The whole Shabbos, he didn't say Torah by the Tish. He would just eat. He would just sing, eat. Didn't say Torah. Rebbe not to say Torah. So one of his close Hasidim came up to him after and said, Rebbe, why didn't you say Torah this Shabbos? He says, because you know what Parshas Vayetze teaches us? Parshas Vayetze teaches us that when a Yid eats and a Yid drinks, that's also Torah. That's what Parshas Vayetze teaches us. When a Yid goes to work and makes money, that's also Torah. When a Yid was dealing with the sheep and the goats, that's also Torah. And what a lesson of Parshas Vayetze that really is in the very beginning of it. So he said, yeah, what Torah do I have to say? We eat, we drink. That's Torah also. That's Torah also. And that's the lesson of the Sula Mutzav Arza. That's the lesson of this ladder that's connecting heaven and earth. And that's why when we're on this ladder, we say that they're Malachei Elokim Olim V'yardim Bo. So this relates also to something else, because there are going to be times that you're not going to want to go up the ladder. There are going to be times that you're very tired, and you think the ladder is a tremendous, tremendous burden. Right? The Gemara in Megillah says, Chavtas Amar Aleph, says wherever the Jewish people went into Galus, the Shechina was with them. And the Slonimer says it doesn't only mean when the Jews as a nation went into Galus. When every Jew goes into Galus, you should know the Shechina is with you. That's why it says that Hashem is on top of the ladder, and Hashem tells him, everywhere you go, I'm going to guard you, don't worry. So some say that this is connected to the idea of the Yerid, the Malachim going up and also coming down. What does that mean? So it's what we've shared before. I'm going to use more Litvisha terms than the terms the Slonimer uses to describe it. But the Revolbi in his Alei Shor, quoting from the Sefer HaYashar, says that it's natural that we have what are referred to as Yemei Ava and Yemei Sinah. there are days that you love serving God, and there are days that you really just don't. There are days that you don't want to daven. There are days that you don't want to say, we have to worry about brachas. There are days that you think, oh my gosh, do I really have to dress this way? You know what I'm saying? There are days that being a halachic person is a drag. And there are times that we're not necessarily so inspired how halacha is connecting us to Hashem. So that's the importance of what? Of staying on the ladder, even yardim bo. Even when you're going down, just stay on the ladder. Stay on the ladder. And that's what Revolbi talks about. He says so much of Avodas Hashem is not only about how to serve Hashem when things are great. It's about staying committed in the relationship with Hashem, even when things aren't great. That dafka shagam hayiridos yeh betoch hamiskeres shel kedusha. The Slonimer says that even the yiridos, even when you go down and you fall, it should be in the framework of holiness. And that's what we have to know. We have to know that even our yiridos, even when we're in the galus prati, we're in the private exile. And again, what's the private exile? What's the secret of galus? Unfortunately, what is the definition of galus? When you don't know where you are, right? When you don't know who you are, that's galus. For example, it's Kislev, so every year we have to bring in Chanukah. But this is the question we chazer over every year, we review every year, because people sometimes, just recently, I forgot who I did this to, it wasn't in my Berurah class, I forgot where. I said, right, so Galus Mitzrayim, they were Mitzrayim. Galus Bavel, they were in Bavel. Galus Paras Amadai, they were in Paras Amadai. Galus Yavan, they were in Eretz Yisrael. During the Greek exile, they weren't in Greece, they were in Israel. So why is that a Galus? Because you could be in Eretz Yisrael, you could have a Beis HaMikdash, and you could be in Galus. Isn't that wild? Because Galus is when you don't know who you are. Galus is you don't know where you are, right? So even at the Galus Prati, you have to know that Hashem is watching you. Even when you have that private exile, that you feel so closed off from who you are, you feel just disconnected, right? Those days that you're just like lost, the days that, whatever it is that you do, just feeling totally, totally like that boat just flailing around on a stormy ocean, you feel this. So we have to know that even that Yerida, Hashem is on top of the Sulam and he's watching you and he's guarding you. Even then you have to know that. And even then we try. You know, it's not meaningful to say brachas then, but we try to say brachas then. Even then you think it's not meaningful, I'm not feeling it, you know, to daven, I'm not feeling it to know that halacha requires certain things. But you know what? Even then, the importance of doing it, you can't understand how chashuv it is. And that's what it means, that even in the yiridos, even when we step down, we have to know that we're still on the ladder. That we're still on the ladder, Baruch Hashem. And so that's why Yaakov Avinu, when he dreams of Har Sinai. He dreams of Torah. He dreams of the thing that really is connecting heaven and earth. And that's why it's interesting. They say the face of the human being. It's also a medrash in the beginning of this week's parsha. That why, there's a medrash connected to this, that why were malachim coming down? Because the face, there's a face of a human being on the Kisei HaKavod. You know whose face it is? It's the face of Yaakov Avinu. And so the malachim are going up. One second, there's an image there. They were coming down. Like, it's the same image. What's going on? Because Yaakov Avinu, the Av that represents Torah, is the one that connects heaven and earth to the greatest degree. That's why he's referred to in Kabbalistic literature as Bechir Sheva Avos. Yaakov Avinu is known as the greatest of the forefathers because of that. So that's why the image of the Sulam. And Rav Moshe Wolfson, of course, beautifully, he says that the Sulam isn't only Har Sinai. When you really think about it, who is the Sulam? He says the Sulam is Nishma Sa'adam. That the ladder is the soul of a human being. The soul of a Jew is that ladder. We are that ladder. Because we're planted here in a physical shell. And where does our neshama reach? Virosho Magia, the highest places. Right, the Nefesh HaChaim, Reb Chaim Volozhiner, talks all about this in the first gate of his work of Kabbalah, that he talks about the different levels of our soul, and when we do things here, it's also in his commentary on Pirkei Avos, Ruach Chaim, and there's something we say from the Baal Shem HaKadosh, we just said this recently, no? In a shir a couple of weeks ago, that da malamala mimcha, that know that everything happens above, is really from you. We have tremendous, tremendous kochos above. And Rav Wolfson suggests that that sulamutz of Artsa, yeah, maybe when Yaakov Avinu dreamed of it, he was dreaming of Har Sinai, but the dream of Har Sinai enables all, each and every one of us, to literally become that ladder, that we are planted here on this world, mutzav artsa, our feet are firmly entrenched in this world, but yet, where are our thoughts? Where is our reach? Our reach is mamish magia shamayma. Our reach goes up to the highest places. And that's why we have no idea not to take any mitzvah lightly. We have no idea what can change a world. We have no idea. We have no idea. You know, they say that the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zechusa Gina Lein, used to be asked about this. You know, so sure Mashiach's coming. Think about all the generations before us, all the great tzaddikim. You know, Mashiach didn't come then. Why now? And he would say, I heard from Lubavitcher that the Rebbe believed. He said, what do you mean? Do you know how close we are? We don't need them anymore. They brought us to the relay race, right? We're in the final leg of the relay race. We had the greatest of the great runners before us. And now we're right at the tape. So who knows? It's just one more lunge. I know it sounds crazy, but you know the chashivas of one bracha that you say? Do you know what the chashivas it is that you came out on a rainy night, on a disgusting night, to come learn Torah? You had the furthest trip. Do you realize how chashiv it is, Shari? Not really. It's not a small thing. It's not a small thing. And you don't say, oh, we just came to a shir, we just wanted to get out of the house, right? Leave the kids with that, right? No, no. You know how chash it is to come out to learn Torah? Rosho magia shamayma. What we can accomplish, we have no idea. We have no idea the chashivas. And that also could help us get through the yidus. Get through the yidus. Rav Lachman would often say, he says, you think God wants you to serve Him. You think what God appreciates is when everything's running great and Erev Shabbos, you have time to go to the mikvah and to say Shir Hashirim and to Zog Shnai Mikra. He goes, no, no, no. God wants to see how you enter into Shabbos when you were stuck in traffic and you ran home like a Meshuggah and it was 2 seconds left and you're right. He says, the challenging times, it's Tafka the Yeridos that so often can have those biggest, biggest implications and the greatest, greatest effect in heaven. So that's one image. What's the other big image? Of course, in this week's parsha, mamash, it's the same page. It starts on the same page, but it continues on to the next page. It continues to until 148, right? So the first big image with Yaakov Avinu is the image of right, there are a few main images of Yaakov Avinu. One of dressing up like Esav. Two, the Sulam. Another major one is, of course, Yaakov wrestling with the Malach. But there's another big image of Yaakov Avinu, and that is the rock on the well, exactly. So the Slonim Rebbe says, what's the deal with the Avos and Wells? Like, what's the deal with the Avos and Wells? That's basically what he says. He goes, Yisavar, Madam Atsinu Betar Lagabi Avos, because there's an Indian Muchad Bekeshul Beiros. He goes, like, what's the difference with all these wells? And also, what's the differences in the stories of the wells? Because each one has this different experience, meaning Avram Avinu digs wells. Okay, good. He digs well. Great. Yitzchak Avinu, what does he have to do? He has to unstuff the wells of, but he has to unstuff Avram's wells, but he also has to then dig his own wells, right? He has to dig his own wells. And the Pasuk even tells us that the wells of Avram were stuffed up with dirt. And then comes Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, we don't see him digging his own well, but what do we see Yaakov Avinu doing? We see a big rock on top of a well that Yaakov Avinu takes off. Right, that's what happens. V'galu, the pasuk is Vayikasher Ra Yaakov is Rachel bas Lavan achi imo v'son Lavan achi imo v'yigash Yaakov v'yagel as even me'al piyav be'er v'yashke son Lavan achi imo. That Yaakov Avinu, it's pasuk Yud, Perek Chavtes pasuk Yud 29:10. That Yaakov Avinu himself removes this big rock that all of the other shepherds were supposed to remove together. So the Ma'ari Naim, the Holy Chernobyler, right, says from the Baal Shem HaKadosh that the whole idea of Be'er, the whole idea of the well, right, what is a well? A well is when you dig deep and you uncover a source of life, right? Underground, you uncover water. So he says what the Avos did with their wells is they were uncovering for us
basically pipelines from God of light. That's what they were doing. They were opening up ways for us to connect to the deepest light that Hashem is sharing with us. And each one had a different way of doing that. We know in Avram Avinu, and he says that this is the Mari Naim, quoting the Baal Shem HaKadosh, that each one of the Avos had a different Mahalach, as we know, right? We mentioned it just before. It connects with the idea that we just said before. Avram Avinu, what was his Amud? His Be'er were Be'eros of Chesed and Ahava, right? His Be'eros, his wells, he dug them. These were wells opening up the pathways of love and the pathways of chesed to each and every one of us. And it makes sense why chesed has to come first. Why does chesed have to come first? Because the world was created in chesed. If Avram Avinu is the tikkun, if Avram Avinu is the one that's fixing the sin of Adam and Chava, he's the one that has to restore the world back to what it was, right? So it's, of course, it makes sense that to restore the world, you have to start again with chesed, the way Hashem created the world. Olam chesed yibaneh. So Avram Avinu starts with chesed, but there's a great danger when it comes to love. And what is that? Afar, dirt. What is afar? What is dirt? Dirt represents chomrios. It represents the most crass physical, like the most elemental of the four elements of medieval philosophy. That's not only Jewish: wind, fire, water, and dirt, dust. Right? But the idea, the Arizal talks about this a lot. But dust representing physical, what is it able to do? It's able to stop up the light of pure love and pure chesed. And then it becomes very dangerous, because that love that's in the world could be, unfortunately, turned towards very, very dangerous things, right? And the midah of ava could be drawn to loves that are not appropriate loves. It could be drawn to love of self. And so therefore, how do you fix love? And what's interesting is Avram Avinu, right? He's the big lover of everything. Yet after he passes what is arguably his greatest test, what does the Malach say to him? Ati adati, after the Akedah, ki yirei Elokimata. Now I know you fear me. One second. Avram Avinu is all about love. Why, after his biggest test, does there have to be fear? So the Zohar HaKadosh says that really, we know that Ava is a greater level than Yira, but the Zohar says that Pekuda Kadma Da Yira, Yira Hashem, that the first commandment is fear. Reishis Chachma, as Shlomo says in Mishlei, Yira Hashem, the beginning of wisdom is fear of God. Then Pekuda Tinyana Da Ava Hashem, and the second commandment is love of God. Even though we know that Ava is greater than Yira, but for the Ava to be properly focused, for the Ava to stay on target on what it should be focused on, what do you need? You need Yira. You need fear. Reishis Chachma Yira Hashem. That the beginning of Chachma is fear of God. And again, if we're going to get Kabbalistic, Chachma is actually on the right side. It's on the side of Chesed, right? In the diagram of the spheros that looks like a molecule, right? That chachma is on the right side with chesed. So I was worried, reishis chachma yiras Hashem, because without yira, that love could be totally, totally wasted. That love could be led in a very, very dangerous place. And that's why, what does Yitzchak Avinu have to do? Yitzchak Avinu, right, has to, as Malki said, Yitzchak Avinu has to first come and dig his own wells, and then he has to redig the wells of his father. Meaning, there has to be Yira. There has to be Yira. You can't have Ava without Yira. And that's what Yitzchak Avinu has to do. And Yitzchak Avinu is teaching us that, yes, when we approach God in prayer, a lot of that, as we've discussed in Sha'arim B'Tfilah, is recognizing the lowliness of a human being. The shiftless Adam, the sense of awe that we can talk to God, right? You've ever had that experience of talking to a person like so much greater than you, and there's like a sense of awe when you talk to them? When I used to go approach Rav Aaron Lichtenstein to ask him questions, I was filled with a tremendous awe. and a love, and a tremendous love. And I approached my Rebbe to ask a question. You know, you go to the Gedolei HaTorah, you go into Reb Chaim Knievsky, even though it's a total zoo when you go into him, but, you know, just you approach a person who's just kulo Torah, there's a certain love, but it's first, there's a certain fear. I mean, I'm not going to go and give Reb Chaim Knievsky a big hug and a kiss. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, that would be funny, right? I'd probably get stoned. But, you know, the idea that there's a love, but it's being held back by a certain awe. It's being held back by a certain yira. And that's why Yitzchak Avinu is the second one, that he has to redig the wells of his father. He has to have his own, but he also has to redig the wells of his father. And then we come to Yaakov Avinu. And he's the one that we're told that his well, interesting, he doesn't dig it on his own, but his well has a big rock on it. It's not afar, it's not dirt, chomrios, it's a big rock. And in fact, the Gemara says that it's a Bereshis Rabbah, Evan hu ha-Yetzahara. You know what that rock on top of the well of Yaakov was? The Yetzahara. The Yetzahara. Why Dafka on the well of Yaakov Avinu? Because we know that the Gemara tells us. What is the antidote for the Yetzahara? Barasi Yetzahara, Barasi, Torah Tavlin. That Torah is the thing that can sweeten the Yetzahara. Right? Torah is the thing that can heal the whatever machala the Yetzahara afflicts us with. And that's why Yaakov Avinu, the be'er that he has to uncover, is the be'er of Torah. But Yaakov Avinu has an Evan Gadol, has a tremendous, tremendous stone on top of it. But yet, Yaakov Avinu himself can do it. How? How do you remove that tremendous Yetzahara? So the Slonimer suggests that to remove that tremendous Yetzahara, you have to have the Midah of Yaakov. And what is Yaakov? We talk about it in terms of Moshe, the great humility of Moshe. But he said Yaakov's name means what? What does Yaakov's name mean? It means heal. It means the lowest part of a human body. Why is that Yaakov Avinu? Why is that a Yaakov, the sense of his spotless nullification of self? Because what Midah do we say was Yaakov Avinu? Avram was Chesed, Yitzchak was Yira. What's Yaakov? Tiferes. Yaakov is Tiferes, Alpi Kabbalah, right? And what does that mean? It means Emes. Titen Emes li Yaakov. Yaakov is the synthesis of Chesed and Yira, which is Tiferes, Chesed and Gevura. But Yaakov Avinu is Emes, right? When a person knows truth, is there any greater way to remove the Yetzirah? If you have a true perspective, we know that this is what happened to Adam and Chava when they ate from the Eitz Hadas Tova Ra, that the Rambam, based on the Mor Nevuchim, you know, that's when things became good and bad. Before good and bad, what was it? It was true and false. Eitz Hadas Tova Ra meant things became subjective. If we could actually look at things objectively, if we could have an emistika perspective, that true perspective on ourselves, a true perspective of God, a true perspective of this world, of what's really valuable, how often do people get caught up in such narishkeit? Such narishkeit. The greatest Yetzirah is the one that conceals truth from us, right? If we were able to look at things honestly, you know, when things get us upset for whatever reason, someone heard, you know, the Rabbeinu Bachim Makuta talks about this all the time. You know, someone hurt your feelings. Take a step back and look at it from the lens of truth. Right? Everything that happens ultimately is from God. This person did something as a kli of God. Okay, it came from God. This person, okay, that person has their own issues. They'll work out with the Eibishter. But what is it telling me? I'll PMS. What is it that I have to work on? Right, something that happened to us over the course of a day. Al pi emes. If we really looked for things from a perspective of truth, it removes all of the stones that are preventing us from connecting to truth, from connecting to the Borei Olam in a real way. But we have to have that mabat. We have to have that perspective. That's not easy to have. Why? Because, you know, this requires a certain sense of self-nullification. To look at things in a true way. Obviously, as we said from Rav Wolfson, we are the Sulam, we have great potential. But at the same time, what are we doing with that potential? You know, I don't want to get too musery. You're the guys that actually came out, you know what I'm saying? So we're not going to get too intense, don't worry. But, you know, when you think about the Midah of Emes, because Emes is required for Torah, the Gemara says, Who does Torah stay with? Someone that is meimis atzmo aleha, someone that kills himself over Torah. Now, in the yeshivas, what do they say? It means you sit up late at night and you plug away. Now, that's true, but al pi machshava, al pi musar, not in terms of a meilus, but Torah, it means to really connect to Torah, you have to be willing to say, you know what, I was wrong about something. And maybe what I'm saying is incorrect. And maybe if I'm going to be honest with myself, how often do we say, if I'm going to be honest with myself, what is that? Well, what happens if you're honest with yourself, right? So that's a tough thing. That's a tough thing when we're honest with ourselves. Most of the time, we don't like to be honest with ourselves. But this is something that when we talk about these wells, understand, these are the wells that we drink from to this day. We're drinking from the well of Avram Avinu. We're drinking from the well of Yitzchak Avinu. We're drinking from the wells of Yaakov Avinu. They opened up the wells of Chesed, of Tefillah, of Torah to each and every one of us. And we drink from these wells to this very day. They're the ones that allowed us to go down these paths. And that's why every Shmona Esrei, we start Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Every Shmona Esrei starts in recognizing that all of my avoda comes via these pipelines of the Avos HaKadoshim. They're the ones that I'm coming to you, God, because of them. They're the ones that are allowing me to do this. So this is something that I think, you know, when we read these stories, we have to understand what's going on in these stories. The images of the Torah have great, great meaning and value for us. And of course, that it's in Parshas Vayetze, the birth of the Jewish people, but at the same time, from the beginning of the Parsha, right? If you would turn through all the pages of the Parsha, even though there's so many different storylines that happen in the Parsha, what do you not find once in this Parsha? No psucha or stuma. There's not one break in the whole Parsha. One of the few Parshios in the whole Torah that there's not one break in the whole. Look, the art scroll normally, any other Parsha. Look at the end of, Toldos. Turn back, where in Toldos do we have a break? No, there's a break in Toldos, right? Where is there a break in Toldos? No break in Toldos? No, there was a break in Toldos. No, there is. 128, there's a little break you see at the top. There are breaks in Toldos. Page 132, there are breaks. Those are reflecting breaks that you have in the Torah itself. You look in the whole Vayetze, not one break in the whole Vayetze. Not one break in the whole Vayetze. And why is that? Because this is the Parsha from beginning to end. This is the conception of the Jewish people. And just as we said, the sulamut of arts of Rosh HaMegiyah Shemaimah, we have to know that it's all one. It's all connected. Everything, that's the lesson of Yaakov Avinu. That's the lesson of the Torah. Because that's what Torah does for us. Torah lets us view everything that happens to us as part of our relationship with God. That's what Torah opens up. Mamash, there's nothing that happens to you over the course of a day, not one thing that's not part of your relationship with Hashem and isn't a lesson for you or isn't a challenge for you to see if you're going to push and stand up. So that's why in this Parsha, Vayetze, not one psuchar stuma in the whole Parsha, mitchiloso ad sofo, to teach us that our whole life is one homogeneous unit. We think that there are different... No, chas v'shalom. It's all one. We're all just on the way on that ladder. We go up, we slide back, but we're on that ladder connecting heaven and earth, because that's what the Torah HaKadosha does for us, that's what Yaakov Avinu does, and that's why the Lechtrutscher didn't say any Torah on Parshas Vayetze. So you don't have to either. You don't have to share this with anyone else. You could just, you know, what did the rabbi say? Nothing. He didn't say anything, right? Nothing and everything, right? That's what it's all about. It's about nothing and it's about everything. Okay, yishkoyach, get home safe. Get home.